had a choice before he was exploited, and his offspring would do more than dream. Isn't that a shame?
Than a child on this land, not a child, not a man. Branches can grow free. Again and again and again. I don't know why I can't. A tree is a work of God. Smile.
Calico Sterling, AK-47, Glock 9 Uzi, Maxis Mac 11. Jamais je n'ai aimé personne comme toi. Tu es toujours si fidèle à moi. Amour et loyauté, je mens pour toi chérie. Au policier et à monsieur juge aussi. Pour vrai chérie, on remonte à tellement loin. Depuis gamin, protège mon cul de ces putes négro. Assoiffé pour mes ornements et ma maman coca. Seulement quelques occasions, tu as bloqué pour des raisons d'entretien, mais tu m'as quand même sorti du pétrin. Ta présence fait fuir les PD et fait pleurer les gangsters, les forçats. Crier Jésus, la première fois qu'ils m'ont séparé de toi, j'ai pleuré. Oui, je suis émotionnel face à toi, Même en sortant de prison, on a repris notre relation. Je tiens à toi, j'adore les larmes à feu. Calico Sterling, AK-47, Glock 9 Uzi, Maxi Smack 11. Hey, 10 jours, il est impossible que je laisse tranquille. Je te considère comme membre en règle de la famille. Quand je brille, elle brille, hein. On a une relation criminelle, professionnelle, parfois émotionnelle. Aujourd'hui, mademoiselle, 9 mm, laisse sécher ses cheveux par la fenêtre. Je l'aime, je l'aime. Un autre bébé vient de mourir sur l'autoroute. Je dors même avec Ouni, elle est la raison pourquoi mes poches sont tellement remplies. Et à chaque fois que je la déshabille, nos ébats sexuels font des feux d'artifice. M'approche la scène de crime comme des artistes. Main dans la main, mille ont faim, fils de Cain, des requins. Marielle t'aime tellement qu'il y a que la prison qui pourra nous séparer. Calico Sterling, AK-47, Glock 9 Uzi, Maxi Smack 11. 45-38-44-22, Calico Sterling, AK-47, Glock 9 Uzi, Maxi Smack 11.
Color of God's throne. I don't know, blue. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a pattern. Woo! Spit on a dime, tap you on the head. It's good luck. Now go to bed. Oh, I don't know what color God's throne is, and maybe it is a pattern. And I thought about that when I was at the men's storage space, that's what I'm going to call the store, to buy a new suit of clothes for my niece's wedding. It's not for my niece's wedding, it's for me. I'm attending my niece's wedding. My niece's wedding is an event, and it can go naked. It doesn't need a suit of clothes. But I was standing before the pocket square table, and I thought, that is a really nice blue pocket square. But then as I approached it, and the details became more evident to me, I saw that it had a pattern on it. Maybe it was floral. I don't remember. But I remember saying, oh my goodness, it is not solid blue. And I wonder, they say in Ezekiel, those who wrote the Bible, who wrote the Bible? I don't know. I look, it's one of those few books that doesn't have an author credit. I said, mine says Alan Smitty or something. But I was looking through it and it said, God sits on a throne and it's not a traditional throne. It's made of energy or something. And it's blue. And I thought, well, that's a very interesting story. I don't remember that. I would have gone to church more if there were more things like that. It seems like one of these adventure movies with superheroes. I could get into that. If the preacher had said, oh, now look up to the heavens. Maybe there's a ship coming with some demigod on it. I'd have looked up and maybe there'd be an effect like in ancient Greece they would do that. Hieron of Alexandria designed props like that for religious services. So you'd go to the temple of your favorite god and he would have had engineered some sort of effect, like you're at Disney World, but it's church. And if they'd combine those, oh my goodness, I could tweak Pirates of the Caribbean so that it would be some sort of moving religious story. Wouldn't even have to be based on an existing tradition. I think I could make the characters up. And they'd all be doing good. It would show also the weak side of people. So you'd see people making bad investment decisions or bad friendships or relationships or something where, like, I don't even know. We don't even have the same interests. You would see that as you're going by in the boat. You'd say, oh, there's a couple, and they don't really even have the same interests. Ugh. How's that going to work out? And there they are, frozen in time, because they're robots. They're automatrons in this place I'm making. Where are you making it? I'm making it in my mind because nobody will rent me space for free. Everybody wants money. I say, look, you give me your building, and what do I give you in return? When I feel moved, I will do something with the space.
And they'd all be doing good.
And then you maintain it, even though you don't own the building any longer. So, oh, what do you mean don't own it? I'll go, okay, no, you still own it. I rent it. That's right. But I don't pay any rent. And then the space, I can do whatever I want as long as it's even tangentially associated with art. And my lease is 190 years. How's that? That's what I'm looking for in an art experience. And then I don't want the pressure of having to do something all the time, right? Maybe only once every 10 years I'll have a good, let's put on Ubu. Let's do that with puppets or something, or cheese. And then we do that and go, okay, let's take a break. I need a break to go, you know, and then that, I mean, that's how life goes. I spoke to somebody the other day, and they were talking to me about their art because we were staring at a painting I had done, a painting on a wall. Sometimes I paint walls crudely. A lot of times bugs. I like to paint bugs. Again, I don't paint the bug. I paint the wall, and an image, two-dimensional, of the bug on the wall is something I enjoy. And so I was discussing that with an individual and about doing their art and having one of those lives where they did a lot of different things for money. And I said, I'm the same. Oh, my goodness. I know what that's like. Sometimes when we're doing things we like, we have to do all sorts of things. Like, for instance, I worked for Meyer Lansky in the 70s. And I did that just so I could make my art. And then I got enough money for papier-mâché and everything like that. And the time machine is a crazy thing for job opportunities, because I don't, if you go to a certain year, help wanted ads look slim, pop to over to a different year. And then if you go earlier, you can be one of those people that the subsequent jobless people resent, because you're like, how'd that idiot get his job even? They don't even have, those aren't even available. I think I'm going to go to when there was like some state schools, there was a dearth of professors. And so they had to lower their standards briefly and hire a professor, maybe didn't have a PhD or something. Professor Barely. And then Professor Barely would be there even through the boom years. Say, hey, that's a sweet gig. It's like, how did Professor Barely still there? And yet I have 9 PhDs and I can't get a job teaching. What do you teach? I teach theoretical nonsense. Applied theoretical nonsense. And yet, these old timers park in there like Professor Chronotis or something, and then they never leave. And then those of us, and then we just become Ronin, and we wander.
We say, I would like to do my, I'm not super good, mind you, but I've really determined to have a career in this. And say, what is it you do? I say, I put on plays. And what is the play you put on? It's very meta. And here it is. It's a play about Bob Denver and his wife. And it's about 1982. And they are driving across the country performing Owl and the Pussycat out of the trunk of their car. They bring with them everything they need, all the sound effects, all the props. And they will show up and do this two-person play in your small town. Perhaps you've never had a three-act play come to your small town. Well, Bob Denver, the star of Dobie Gillis and Gilligan, and his wife, an actress, will come there and perform this classic play, a screenplay by Buck Henry. You may know him from Get Smart. Creator of Get Smart. They, and this is, the play is about them. So the play is sort of about Bob Denver, but it's not, it's also about a fella playing Bob. No, we're not going to go to that level. It's just about Bob Denver and their tour that year. Would you like me? It's called The Owl and the Pussycat and the Rest. Or maybe it's Owl and the Pussycat, Professor and Marianne. I don't know. I haven't worked it out yet. But we are doing some test performances. And we are doing them with stop motion animation live. It's tedious. People have been leaving because it takes so long just for one gesture. And the audience is like, oh, is it necessary for you to step back every time you move? That just do it like puppeteering. Do you have to step back every time you make a small adjustment to the figure? And you go, well, yeah, I mean, that's how stop motion works. But it's live. Yes, but still, why would we adjust the art form? It doesn't make sense. Let's do it the right way. And then the audience flees. And so are you doing it? Is it even worth doing? Yes. You just have to go through a period of having to get grants, because no one will actually pay you. And then when humanity comes to its senses again and will see the slow art of live stop-motion animation of my genius production of The Owl and the Pussycat and Gilligan, then will we know that humanity has reached a point where it needs to keep going. And you can tell that. Oh, Hardy, how would I know when I've improved myself or made some progress in life? Oh, my friend, I'm not sure it's possible. There is something erasing the footprints as you walk forward in the sand. And you know that old thing, say, we're walking in the sand and I saw a pair of footprints. And they go, well, you're in wet sand. Because if you're really, truly just walking in sand, your footprints would probably disappear, my friend. Let's change that. Say, I was walking in wet sand and I saw a pair of footprints and I think, oh, it's God, and I'm on his shoulders or something. And what's that? Does God have a tail? Why? Because he's kind of a snaky thing. He's leaving it. It's a gator. It's gator tracks. No, it maybe is a tail. And I hate to switch tracks, especially if I'm doing the trolley problem. I say, nah, just let it run over whatever it was going to run over. But here, I'm going to go ahead and switch tracks. Not in a malicious way, the way somebody does when they just go up and pull a lever on the railroad, thinking, I'm going to cause chaos and death. Why would I do that? But a lot of people do in the radio or television. Say, I'm going to put forth some ideas. I don't care how poisonous they are, because I like to see, I'm going to put a penny on the train track, a penny the size of a manhole cover. Let's see what happens. Oh, something. I like to stir things up. I'm a pot stirrer, they say. And I say, well, listen, I burned a bit on the bottom. And if you stir it, the burn bit's going to come up. But let's just let it sit there. Do you follow me? If you scrape it now, the burn bits go into it. But now they formed a hard burned layer. Don't stir the pot. What are you talking about? I beg your pardon? Hello. Oh, everybody, it's the still small voice in my head, or the shrill small voice in my head, I should say.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I'm slightly hard of hearing, so I have to, the voice in my head has to yell. Isn't that funny? I guess I don't have to say things out loud. But I like to hear myself say them. This, our ancestors knew about prayer. So a lot of times, what prayer is I want you need to hear yourself say it out loud. For instance, give me a new set of golf clubs. Once you say that out loud, Lord, once you say that out loud, you focus your intention on it. And you remember to set your heart on that. Well, now that's a terrible example. It's not, you can pray for whatever you want. I think if I had a opportunity to wish for things, I wouldn't discriminate. I'd wish for whatever I wanted all the time. Never have big, have small. So you're going to wish for golf clubs and not world peace? Listen, if this power that I'm wishing against is as big as you say, I bet you I can get a bunch of wishes in there. I'm thinking. I wish for all those things. I wish for peace. I wish for an end of suffering. And also I wish for some high-end fragrances. I wish for, people to be healed. And end of their, pain. And also, I don't know, cool, not a super expensive car, but a cool, maybe a sportier one, like a manual. I haven't had a manual transmission in a long time. I'd like something to do while I'm driving. I don't have a smartphone, so I can't just read my text like a lot of people do. And I just got to, the driving has to be the point of it for me. And that gets boring sometimes. So I would like to have a sporty car where I can weave in and out of people or up onto sidewalks. No, I would never drive like that. I prefer not to drive. But I like to get around. I like to walk. I like to curly shuffle. No, I like to walk. I like to, I take trains. I would take a small, I wish there was a small, children's zoo train. You know the kind where you drop, you can sit in them, but it's you're the size of King Kong or something riding on a train. It's fun, though. But they go through little, and then there's an old guy sitting in the front, and it's a little toy train kind of that you can ride in that goes through like a children's petting zoo. You go, oh, we're going by the goats now, I can tell. And choo choo. If one of those would come by your house and take you for groceries or something, go to the little shopping area, everybody on, you have a quaint little station, no cars on this, or maybe you don't need cars on the street, where the cars all come through the back alley. So the front street is just train and pedestrian. Are you writing this down? I am. When I put out my book, I'm going to put out a book. I'm going to advertise it right now. It's called, I don't know what it's called. It probably won't be a book. But there'll be maps in there of how I envision a lot of planning. Because I think the way we plan our cities has a lot to do with our philosophy about, I'm the first one to say this, how we treat each other and everything. I'm not the first one to say this ever. Oh my goodness, I would like to live with you. How? Maybe in an old stone age roundhouse or something, whatever they're called. I like to live primitively, but I also like very, very fancy resort hotels. Why is that? Because I'm a human being. I understand and I love and I accept simplicity. But what living creature can resist opulence? Even if it's for just a little while. That's why people win prizes. They go, we're sending you to exciting place. I've never been. And it's fun. Everybody's, no one begrudges anybody. So even if it's icky opulence, the human heart really always dreams about that. Or it wouldn't write stories about that. People say, it turns out I'm royalty and I get to sit on a throne. But then that turns out to be morally questionable, but then I come back to my own family with a new sense of dignity and acceptance. So we need those, do we? I don't know what we need, friend. I'm not here to burden you with information. Do you know that everything we learn, this is why learning is so important not to do. Every time, I'm kidding. Am I? Every time that you take in information, it affects the subsequent information. So if I was to say, Vicky's not here to defend herself. Vicky Bennett is a liar or something. She's not at all. I don't know. We're just taking a friend. And then you tune into her saying something and you go, well, I was told that, whether you believe it or not, it has now affected everything that you'd have to unlearn it, but it would still be in there. So I can say things like that. I don't know. I don't want to say, I've already defamed my super close friend. So why would I continue? But you know what I'm saying. That's not true. Just for the record, Vicky is tells the truth scrupulously, and she's a genius. But the reason I digress is because if I were to give you this information, I would be doing the moral equivalent of gifting you mediocre art, which some people do say, I painted you and I framed it. Oh, you just walked right out of a sitcom episode, didn't you? Because now you've burdened me a little bit. Well, I don't like it. That's where you get people practical things. Either they can eat it or throw it away, there's that, or something they can really use. Like, I don't know, maybe just a block of wood or something. I've had call for that recently. Something, a piece of wood about shelf size. I've needed that. Or, you know, a lot of other practical things. Booze. I try to just bring like a host. That's what I'm doing. I'm bringing you a hostess gift to you. I hope you like it. It's chocolate. It's chocolate with bourbon in it, but not real bourbon. Oh, well, it is real bourbon. I'm sorry. I should have gotten something else. Here's chocolate with nothing in it. Not even chocolate. What's in it? Ooh, who knows? It's a little void that you can put, your imagination can fill. When I was a young person, I walked into a bookstore, and the bookstore, to me, was so inspiring. It's where I first got my guide to short subject films that had a whole chapter on the Three Stooges and their filmography, which I used as a checklist. And every time they'd show one on my local Channel 6 or whatever, I'd check that off. It was probably on UHF or something they showed it, but check it off. I saw that one. So the bookstore stimulated my imagination. It made me love knowledge. And there was a particular book in there that really affected me. And I guess maybe it was in the 70s. And it was prominently displayed, and it said it was the Nothing book. I was intrigued. I opened it up, and it was blank pages. It was a finite number of pages, yes, but they were all blank. Now, what the clever publishers, so-called, of this book had in mind was that the book is nothing, and then you determine the content. It just can't be typeset. So, for instance, I know you're thinking, I think they just invented the diary. Oh, dang. But somehow this is different because it didn't say diary on it. Now, my grandmother would write in these year-long planners, right? And that, or some of them say diary. Some of them have Laura Palmer's had a little lock on it even, that if you were a supernatural evil being, you could probably just pick. But these were just a book. It looked like a bound book. And say it could be a book of my, you know. So my thoughts are recipes. So I bought one. And I say, I'm going to make a book, not just read them. And so the first thing I remember doing was practicing my elven calligraphy, because I had another book about how to speak the languages of Tolkien. So I remember I'm saying, maybe I'd just do the whole thing in elvish. I wouldn't be able to really read it later. a lot of people's relationship to Elvish is like their B'nai Mitzvah relationship to Hebrew. See, I can read it phonetically. I don't know what I'm saying. So it's just, you know, Ana Vedwi Magovanen. See, I don't know what I'm saying. Some elf might start screaming at me. But these books, they fascinate me. They still do to this day, and I have books. I find it difficult to throw books out. That's why I never get them anymore. I don't read anymore because I'm afraid. I say, oh, if I read, then this book will follow me around like a bowl of cream of wheat, and if I stop quickly, it'll bump into the back of my head. I don't want to lug around all these books necessarily. I stop listening to music because of albums. I can't hear. I have no more room. I have no more physical room for all the ideas that I have. I don't know where to put them. They all seem to have some kind of physical corollary or something, some object associated with the idea. So I don't need a damn mind palace because I got a cluttered mid-century home. That's all I'm saying. It's already got packed with stuff and addresses and pieces of paper. And what's this? I've got the memories have been turned into objects and stuffed into corners. That's how I'm doing it these days. And then you want to give away your memories. That's called art. So I'd like to now give away my memories by pasting them together, something like that, in the form of a song or a painting or a performance piece. I am the idea nostalgia. That's why I'm wearing a straw boater. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Performance Art Circus of Ideas. You will be introduced to... Now I'm putting butter on my face. So some of it has to be incongruous so that people don't slip into ordinary ways of hearing or thinking. Now, when you experience this, I heard that there's a radio show on WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope. I'm not supposed to say, what if I say it now? Will the show automatically end? It's like a spell. Don't say the end incantation. It summons Kevin Nutt. I know. Be careful now. Don't say the words. Don't finish them. Especially, FMU has this book that has a human face on it. And I think it's for the music library. But I don't know. I don't know all the... I would love if there was some sort of party in heaven of all the FMU people that ever been on or will be on. Maybe not in heaven, because that implies we'd have to be dead or something. Maybe there's a large venue in Jersey City. I'm trying to think. I don't really know that well, but there's a lot of buildings there I think would accommodate it. And then we all get together and say, all right. And then we go back our separate ways. And because you remember that time? And you go, we sure do. And I like to do that with my memories. Maybe then I won't have to remember them. But right now I'm curious about things. And I still am exploring. And I want you to explore with me. And I feel like the medium of radio is the best way to do that. I know it's worked for me my entire life. I would put on headphones. Or we used to... So earbuds used to not come in pairs when I was a boy. There'd just be one. I guess that's because the transistor radio was mono. And why bother? Why get mono in both ears? Well, that's how I usually do it, open air, when I do the... No, but when you're doing it, I guess at night, and you want to be surreptitious about it, you put the single earbud in that we would call... There was no name for it. Maybe earpiece something. And... Put that in your ear. Monocle. It was like a monocle. It's the aural equivalent of being Colonel Klink. So you put that in your ear, and you, first of all, I want you to do this. Smell your 70s, 60s transistor radio. It should smell like something. Maybe the leather case that it's in, or the plastic, or the transistor. Something smells familiar about it. I don't think the little silicone desiccation desiccation packet. It's a moisturizer for your radio. They have that in there. It's made out of organic material. It needs to be kept moist. No, but this is the old kind. You smell the radio. Now turn it on. I'm gonna do that now. I'm doing a lot of vocal. I've changed my act. And now I'm going to make sounds of things like I can do a guitar or a trumpet. So, turn it on. I'm sorry, I'm not Michael Winslow. He's so amazing. Can I just stop and say Michael Winslow is amazing? My friends and I Skyped with him to just tell him how amazing he was, and he accepted it. He said, I think, he didn't, he was modest, but we were like, you're so great, Police Academy. The radio goes on. And all of a sudden, that thing in my ear is like a connection to another brain, another place, a mystical place. I hear a voice coming from a radio studio, a phone booth, I don't even know. But I can imagine. Where is this individual sitting? Maybe he's sitting in his, he says basement, but I don't know if it's a basement. Could be a dungeon. He's calling it a basement to sort of make himself look good. Oh, but there's dripping water. Here, come on now. Hang on. You're going to want to sample that. You're going to want to sample that because I think that there's going to be, listen to this. This is my prophecy. You're going to do a hip-hop album. And track two is going to be a skit. And the skit's going to be based on the Brady Bunch episode where they're in that cave in Hawaii. And Vincent Price is there. And he's going something like, let's see the tiki. And then you're going to sample my dripping water as part of that. Oh, I have the fifth eye. I won't tell you where it is. Third eye is in your forehead. Fifth eye, don't exactly know. Would I? I have that's my conditional eye. I see things. I would see them. But I didn't. But I'm going to say I did. That's my would eye. I go a lot of places in my world of possibilities, which is what I call the actual literal theme park that I'm starting. And I find that the hardest part is going to be insurance and engineering and advertising and some other things. But you know, since I worked for Mr. Lansky in the 70s, I learned something. And that is, some people just don't have a conscience. So I don't know why I'm even going into the business. I guess it's just because I want people to have a good time and feel endangered at the same time. No, I don't know. I think I'm going to not even do this park. It hasn't gotten very far. That's a good thing about a lot of my ideas. Like, I've had really crazy ideas that I'm glad I didn't go through. I'm glad my lack of an attention span is a lifesaver. And it is for a lot of people, I think. I mean, you never... My friends and I are watching Cop Rock right now from 1990, watching some episodes of Cop Rock to air out the inside of our mouths because it makes our jaws hang open for extended periods. Now, you weren't in that. And you say, well, maybe that was, but for the grace of God, that could have been me making it or being in it or something or associated with it. But you're saying, well, it must have some entertainment value. It brings, you know what it does? It brings friends together because we're all together watching it, about a dozen people. And it brought them together like they were trapped at the bottom of a well or a coal mine. And so, you know what? We're all experiencing this together. So it's okay. Where was it? Police Academy 6. So we're all watching it. So let me tell you, I just want to experience something with you. And what better way than to be a disembodied voice on the radio? You're not in a body? Not as far as you're concerned, I'm not. Where's my body? Point to it.
Right there.
You're not, well, I don't see it. I don't see you pointing.
Right there.
Where's yours?
Right here.
All right. That's good. I'm glad you've learned so much. I wish I could teach something. That frustrates me a little bit. It's sort of my lack of discipline has enabled me to not be an expert on anything in particular. And so when I teach, it has to be more like, you know how somebody's been at the job 2 days longer? And they say, all right, well, now these are the plastic bags. These are the paper bags. You're not supposed to call the manager Chucky. Stuff like that. That I can teach to you. And I would love to do it in a formal setting at a university. But that's going to be the level of it. You know, maybe at a university I could do that. Be like, no, the bathrooms in the Smith building are not super clean. Just stuff that you'd have to have been there before to know. Just be a couple days ahead of everybody teaching. That's me. Who are you ahead of? The very, very young. Maybe I've done more then. I'd say I could teach. I might not be better traveled than some five-year-olds, but let's say most five-year-olds, I'm better. I could teach. I'd probably have something to teach. And at the very least, self-discipline. You know, a little bit of what not to touch. Because I had to go through that recently. So, oh no, don't touch that. It's very, having visitors to one's house is a mixed bag, is it not? It's nice to, oh, I love to share my place with people. Until they're really there. So people putting down all the Zoom conferences, you don't want those people at your house, do you? Oh, no. I thought we'd meet a neutral territory. Exactly. So that's the thing. It's having them in. I'd like to have them one at a time or something. But human beings are like any animals. Why don't they know they're animals? And you can tell they are because, like, I have two dogs. That is as many as I can live with, I think. Because I know that if I had 10 dogs, it would be sort of difficult. And who knows at that point what they're going to do. And if I'm walking through the neighborhood and I see 10 dogs walking the other way, I think, uh-oh. You know, they're not going to have, the self-control is going to dissipate as they get together and they feed on one another's ignorance. So, I don't know what to do about that. But, that's why I live in a cave. On top of a mountain. Under a mountain. Depends which way you're coming from. Which way will you be coming from? It's either on top or under it. If you're approaching from space, I'll give you directions. If you're approaching from space, use your computer guidance system. If you're tunneling under the ground up to the surface, I will grunt you the directions fairly soon. Or I will send them down in the form of very low frequency vibrations. That's what I'm doing right now with my voice. I am sending low frequency vibrations to you. I can, that's what Lou is, that's why he's here. Now, if you've listened to the show, you realize there are some other individuals that come on and speak. One of them is Louis Register, whose name is really, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's really Lowest Register, and it was misheard. So, Lou Register's Lowest Register. And that's why his voice is so deep. A lot of people have grown concerned for my vocal cords because of my association with him. Sometimes Bush is harder. But that's the story there. Oh my goodness, how long have I been broadcasting? I thought I was off the radio. I always assume that I am broadcasting. If I am sitting alone in a restaurant thinking thoughts, I think, well, surely one of these people here. No, they can't hear me, can they? I think I'll think generous thoughts towards them anyway. Because what if I accidentally act on my negative thoughts? So I will benevolently self-delude. I'm going to sit here now and concentrate while I'm having my coffee at this coffee shop. I'm going to think about, oh my goodness, I said coffee and I almost coughed. They added Y to a lot of things to come up with the seven dwarfs, like Sneezy and Dopey and everything. And there's some people who cough, but they're not going to name one of them coffee because of the confusion. I'm not going to go into ways that movie is disturbing. But don't watch it with a child, because you'll say, oh, I don't know about this. I don't think the child's enjoying it necessarily. The images. And it's Snow White I'm terrified of. It's just some vibe. I don't even know what it is. And the dwarf, the whole stature thing, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable. Maybe I don't need cartoons anymore. Maybe I've moved past that. I think all older relatives would say, yeah, you're old. So okay, I understand that. But I don't know that things never stop getting old to me. I could still watch things intended for the very young, like Teletubbies or something. I could watch a little bit of Teletubbies. When they do that again, though, as I get older, do you know how Teletubbies works? So it's a children's show, and they have the Teletubbies dancing around in their costumes, and then sometimes they'll cut to a little piece. They'll say, we're going to go talk to a little girl who's got some tap shoes. She likes to take tap lessons and all that. So they'll cut to a video piece, and they'll go, I've got tap shoes in my garden. And then she'll tap, 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 tap. Bye-bye, bye-bye. And then the Teletubbies, who are mimicking a child's perspective on the world, say again, and we'll see it again. It's not redundant for a child, and they'll show it again. But as an older person, I see it, and I go, did I just see this? This looks really familiar. Have I seen this episode? So I like it for that reason. It challenges my memory. It's like, oh, wait. No, they just showed it. I was just kind of daydreaming. So I don't know that anything can be entertaining, I think. People put down shows that are intended for the very young. But they're intended for the very young. You have a different way of seeing the world, and you can't ever get back there because you can't un-understand some things. You can't get back. Oh, maybe in meditation I can get back to a state. You can't get back to that state of not knowing. What do I do, Hardy, though? I long for that perspective. Let me tell you, a good way is to take a long, refreshing, soul-cleansing bath in confusion. Subject yourself to situations that you cannot predict. Oh, they can be safe. They need not endanger you. You can watch art that's challenging. Watch a film that is not your taste, that you might not understand. Put yourself in a wonderful, benevolent, transforming state of not knowing, of wondering, of being unable to place things or categorize them or name them. Where am I? You are on Fantasy Island 2000. That's my pitch. Maybe they already did it. Oh, I hope they do some of a lot of the television shows or movies that I have ideas for are based on ones that I saw at a very formative age. I believe those constitute the canon of my fictional imagination. So certain basic forms that a story can take, like a Sherwood Schwartz form, you know, or maybe something dramatic like Combat or Twilight Zone, or cartoonish, you know? It's had such an impact on me. And at times, I would like to give thanks to those artists. And at other times, I think I'd like to join a class action suit against them. So I would like to make you pay for the what passes as a culture or in my head. I feel like I grew up in a grocery store. I feel like I grew up in a department store. The whole world. I'm going to say this right now. I feel like that I grew up in Wanamaker's. And it's just that Wanamaker's has neighborhoods and everything. But that's what it is. We live on the top of tables that usually have pocket squares. But now they have little houses and neighborhoods and cities all across this vast department store country. And all the different regions are different floors. Like, for instance, the Commonwealth of Menswear. The great state of kitchen items. All those things. It's great to shop. One of the best experiences I ever had was going in a multi-floor department store in Kyoto, Japan. The train that we pulled up to, into the basement of the store in looked like something from Murder on the Orient Express. It was immaculate and it was beautiful colors that the other trains weren't. It was just a special fancy going to the department store kind of train. And that department store was just like the old timers. It was like Wanamaker's but Japanese. It was like Macy's but in Kyoto. And it wasn't called any of those things because it was Japanese. And it had chopsticks where we would have all big row of forks. It was so neat and interesting to me. Everything was familiar but different, and different but familiar and not. And I was confused. I didn't know exactly where I was, and it was disorienting because I was like, I'm in Macy's, I'm not in Macy's. You see what I'm saying? It was that wonderful feeling. I'm in Dillard's. No, you're not in Dillard's, though. You're all halfway across the globe. What are you going to buy? I don't know. I don't need anything, really. I'm just browsing. Get out! No, they don't say that to you. Maybe I bought something like, what is it? I don't even know what I got. Some kind of like little square. Is it guava jelly? I don't even know. It's not my taste. I don't want to shop right now. I want to visit with you. And I am not one for sharing stories. I like to just give them away. In fact, I will pay to have them hauled off. So I'm going to give you a story. You got to take it. You got to remove it from the premises. It's not just, this isn't a library, my friend. Right? So you got to take it home with you. Well, what do I owe you? You don't owe me anything. Just don't sue me. Because you'll find maybe what I've given you is not what you want, but you can't get rid of it. Oh, what? No, yes, no, I don't know. Paying attention is, you know, it has an upside and a downside, but it also has 4, 5, or 6 just regular sides to hold it in place. Because just the upside and the downside, how would that work? Magnetic field? Oh, no. Structures have all sorts of dimensions. The show that I present to you, is it a show? Because I can't say anything. The program I present to you, I like to think, has many dimensions and facets. Not quite like a diamond. Maybe like a role-playing game. Dice. Die? Dice do. Dies do. Excuse me? You heard me. Multi? Are those sides or facets or edges? How many edges does a dodecahedron have? Icosahedron. Can you What platonic solids tessellate the best? I'll wait.
Oh, is it icosahedrons?
I don't know. I like to tessellate three-dimensional space with these objects, but I don't know where to get them always. You end up having to make them because I'll be like, oh, I need icosahedrons of this specific size. And people go, I don't know where to get that. Okay. You know, hang up. I go, your platonicsolids.com. I thought that's what y'all sold. No, I don't know if that. Don't go to that website. It's probably a teaching website. Yeah. I did well. Didn't you do well in school? Yeah, not me. Yes, that was one of those questions that was just a setup for me to say something about myself. You ever traveled to France? Yeah, well, I did one time, blah, 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 blah. Do those count as questions about people? Like when they go to a party, they say, if you want to win friends and influence people, ask them questions about themselves. But now it's been done to me sometimes, but I think it's a setup for the other person to give a little story about the thing. And you always know it's coming. He's like, have you ever been to Oslo? And you go, oh, shoot. No, that's the end of my story. You go now. Oh. What are you doing there with your mouth? I am filled with emotion. No, I know it doesn't sound like it. And that's because I'm suppressing it a little bit. And I don't want to because it's like holding in your urine or a hiccup. You're going to hurt yourself. And so when I feel joy or I feel confusion or I feel anything, I like to get it on out there. Now, granted, I'm alone a lot, and so there's fewer consequences than those of you who are sitting at work or driving a cab or anything like that. But you can't do that all the time. But I'm telling you, it feels great just to make sounds and to express yourself in a basic, primitive way. Like that. It never comes out right. It won't sound good. Make sure it sounds good, cool, though. Or because perhaps there's a deity listening and they'll judge you. Let's just hope not. Let's hope if there's any entity listening that they're cool. And that they understand that the human spirit is a free, messy, crazy thing. That is a big cart or a bucket that's being filled with information and stuff all the time. Filled up, and yet it has a difficult time recalling things. Our brains, they just aren't very good at we remember a lot. Yeah, do we though? Think about it. You forget a lot too. And so you take all these things in, and then some of them you just half forget. And they lurk around there. And then you smell them when they decay. I didn't even remember. Oh, I'm thinking I stuck a sandwich in my desk drawer, and then it was a long weekend. Ah, now I remember. Right? That's the human mind is your desk, and that sandwich is some appointment that you forgot. Or some unpleasant idea or concept that somebody put in your head. You know when people say, oh, I can't unsee that? It's no joke. You really can't. Sometimes you can't forget things. It takes time or drugs or blows to the head. And some of those are not options. Like, I'm not allowed to have blows to the head, my doctor said. She didn't say it explicitly. But I think it's on this long list of unspoken advice that I have from my doctor. Don't gouge your eyes out is one that she doesn't say, and she doesn't have to. Stop eating so much. That one I think she says. Take your medicine. I'm trying. I might be a sort of, not medicine for you, but something that you might wash medicine down with. Water? No. I'm not quite water. I'm more like some spit that maybe you could get up if you worked at it for a minute to get that pill down. That's what I feel I am, really. It's just accumulated mouth moisture that helps some ideas go down a little bit. Helps you get some medicine. And maybe your soul feel a little better for a while. This is all hard. Crazy stuff happens out of nowhere. You're trying to make sense of it. Oh, just deal. Love and let yourself be loved. Oh, get it where you can, the healing where you can. But if you're trying to figure it out at the same time, abandon that. Oh, abandon that. And just tell yourself, I'll get to that later. I'll figure things out later where I'm supposed to be going. Right now, I'm going to think about the things I'm feeling. I'm going to think about other people, their experiences, my experience, and work together. I'm going to ask them help when I need help. I'm going to not freak out if they go no. That's the thing about help. See, I told you. Well, no, it's more. That's keep asking. I'm telling you, it isn't. It's like going fishing or something. I fish like you said, and I didn't get anything. How long were you out there? What do you mean how long? I just put it in and pulled it out. That doesn't do it. That's not fishing. So, if you need help, my friend, keep reaching. There's no shame in that ever. I didn't do nothing on my own. So, you're not strong. I'm strong sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. And nobody's anything for very long. I'll tell you what. If you're interested in strongman competitions, go back to some of the strongmen that were strong people back in the day. See if they're still as strong. Or dead. And the future ones. The future strong people. Our babies right now. They're not strong right now. And then they'll be strong, and then they'll be dead. People are only anything temporarily. So I'm not brave. Nobody's brave all the time. Maybe you'd never be, who knows? But it's just a series of doing things, I think. And then different stuff happens. And then you have to figure it out to a certain degree, but you don't have to when you're listening to the radio. You don't have to with me. I'm not saying put yourself in a state of confusion and weirdness all the time to give yourself up to a strange voice on the radio. Don't do that all the time. But it's okay every once in a while to spiritually drink till you throw up. How's another way of putting it? It's okay every once in a while you can have a spiritual cigar. It's not going to hurt you. How often? Oh, I don't know. Rarely. Okay. That's my doctor again. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to wonder. It's okay.
Who says?
I do.
Who are you?
Doesn't matter. I don't know. I'm just trying to convince you of something for no reason. And maybe that's not good, but maybe it is. And maybe you can say a thing and then say the opposite. And if you say it with conviction and emotion, it does something. If I sang it to you, if you can stop, I will. Sorry. Listen, I'm going to just now spend the last half of the show in a segment I call Excessively Giving Thanks, or Obsequious Gratitude is the other name that I have for this segment. I cannot bow low enough to you, my friend. And I call you my friend and my sibling because I long for that connection to others. And I long for the confirmation of the only thing I know for certain, the only thing that I think I have learned in my entire life here on earth. And that is that the constant is uncertainty and weirdness. And the constant is being confused. The constant is being surprised. Even by bad things. I'm surprised by tragic news. I'm surprised by joyous news often. I'm surprised I'm even here speaking with you, friend. It excites me. I'm surprised that I am that disembodied voice on the radio after for so many years having that earpiece in my ear. And now it's your earwax that's on that little white, nasty-looking thing. Excuse me. Plugged into the radio of infinite possibilities.
All right. I thought it was just a zenith.
Or no, what's another one?
I thought it was just Panasonic.
I don't know. I don't know what your little transistor is.
I don't remember. It had a star on it.
I don't know what brand that is. I'm sorry, friend.
All right, I'll look it up.
Look it up, because they sell them.
I don't think they're cheap.
I don't think so. I wish I could. I might go back in time and get my great uncle to give me one again. Because he gave me one. My great uncle. He worked at Campbell's Soup in Camden, New Jersey. And he gave me my first Campbell's Soup mug. But he also, I think there might have been a company store, and he got me a radio from it one time, I think. I'm trying to think that. I think that I might be misremembering this, but he gave me that radio, and I had it for a long time. And I always called it, I thought it was my Campbell's Soup radio because it came from my Uncle Bumps. So I'd like to just thank him. I would like to thank you by name, my late uncle, Alphonse Bumps Richardson of Haddonfield, New Jersey, employed by the Campbell Soup Company of Camden, New Jersey, and who gave me that tiny radio and who may have sparked my interest and being on it. And he sparked my imagination too, because he was the first one to lie to me that there was an imaginary being in his closet. So I thought for that might be 100% of it. So, you know, to Mr. Hovey Stover or whoever that was in the closet, I salute you. And I thank you, my friend. And you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online, internationally, worldwide, WFMU.org. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you again next week. Jesus and his love.
and the sun.